This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
And a good morning to you, Roger and Matt, and, well, everybody around the world, because as we mention here every Saturday morning, because of the technology changes, we can be heard around the world, and it's fun to get mail from, well, places this past week like Hong Kong. I heard from some listeners who are in that city. And one farmer who listens to us online in Australia. So anyway, good morning, world, and welcome to our get-together here on Saturday morning. We are at 9 minutes after 5 o'clock, and I guess some of you to the east of us are in the middle of a winter snowstorm, so be careful if you're driving. As I was mentioning earlier to Matt, for years, decades, on our Saturday morning show before Christmas, we feature music from a church that we visit to video our annual Christmas show on This Week in Agribusiness. Because years ago, I grew up in a country church in Wisconsin, about 60 members, and the church is still going and still holding Sunday services. But I always looked at that country church in Wisconsin as the religious and the cultural and the community gathering place, because we would do, you know, the Sunday service every other Sunday, because it was a four-point parish and still is, one pastor serving four congregations, rural congregations. And that means since there are four churches, they can only hold the services every other Sunday in the churches. So we have made it a tradition, really, on our television show to salute a country church at Christmas time by going to the church and videotaping our television show, and then recording, of course, the choir numbers from the church and sharing them with you here on the Saturday morning show. So let me tell you a little bit about the church that we visited in Frankenmuth, Michigan, just a couple of weeks ago. And first of all, the architecture is very unusual and very dramatic for a country church that size. The congregation has been there for 172 years, and it was formed by the German immigrants, most of them farmers who came from Germany and settled in that part of Michigan. And in that town of Michigan, Frankenmuth is the Bonner Christmas store, where they have Christmas the year round, and the largest display outside in the city and inside in homes across the city, and it is really spectacular. So if you ever want to go see Christmas the year round, you can do it at the Bonner Christmas store in Frankenmuth, Michigan. That's where we take you this morning to share music of the season with the St. Lorenz Lutheran Church. Great musical program, choirs that do beautiful music at Christmas time and the year round, really. And the opportunity to, we were there in 1989 to do a Christmas show. And so we went back last year, saw some of the people, or last week, saw some of the people who we worked with in 1989. So anyway, we'll go back and forth to Frankenmuth, Michigan, to the St. Lawrence Lutheran Church. And we begin with this selection, and it comes from the Mass Choir at St. Lawrence Lutheran Church. And a Christmas hymn entitled, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Choir of St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth, Michigan, with Go Tell It on the Mountain. And somebody emailed and said, is it St. Lawrence, like the St. Lawrence Seaway? No, it's L-O-R-E-N-Z. But it's pronounced because the first time I called it the St. Lawrence Lutheran Church. That's not the way you say it. It's the St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth. We're at 16 and a half minutes after 5 o'clock on this Saturday before Christmas. We'll have more with the choirs and the musical program from the church in Frankenmuth, 5,000 members strong, so you can't call it a little country church, but it's a beautiful setting in that part of Michigan. And we'll be back with more music. We'll be back with more agricultural news and information when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. 19 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Saturday morning, and snowy conditions in parts of the Midwest. Be careful if you're out there driving this morning, and I'm guessing a lot of people are traveling today, although many of them traveled yesterday. Going into the weekend. A reminder that, of course, markets will be closed on Monday for Christmas Day, and we'll follow the same market closing pattern a week from now, ahead of the New Year's weekend. Markets will close at noon on Friday, going into the weekend, and the markets will be closed on Monday, the 1st of January, the new year. And so that's the pattern we're following this weekend for Christmas, and it's the pattern we'll follow next week for New Year's. I do want to mention the report that came out yesterday. Even though the market closed early, we did get a report on the number of cattle going into feedlots. It's the monthly cattle on feed report, and it was issued yesterday afternoon by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And it's going to be a year of plenty of beef at the meat counter, at the supermarket, and it's going to be a year of a lot of cattle being fed, because the numbers yesterday were, I think, somewhat of a surprise to traders. The number of cattle placed on feed into feedlots that ultimately reached the meat counter several months in the new year, those numbers went up 13.9% compared to a year ago. And the number of cattle on feed in feedlots on the 1st of December, up 8% from a year ago. And the number of cattle going to market in November, up 3.2% compared to a year ago. And total beef stocks in frozen storage in the U.S., 487 million pounds. But that number really caught the attention of traders and the cattle industry, with the 13.9% more cattle going into feedlots in November than the same time a year ago. So we'll certainly be watching market reaction to that when the markets reopen on Tuesday. Right now, 22 minutes after 5, and we go back to in the St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth, Michigan, with the choirs and the church congregation providing O Come All Ye Faithful. all ye faithful, the massed choirs and the entire congregation who were in attendance a week ago Saturday night and performed the annual Christmas concert. They do two concerts for the Christmas season every year, complete with brass and, of course, voices in a nice church setting in Michigan. I did receive a couple of emails after the show a week ago that said, did you mention there's a place in the Chicago area where I can buy farm toys because my grandchildren, both boys, are looking for toy tractors, and one wants a green one, one wants a red one. So that would mean John Deere and Farmall. And I received a couple of other emails, and yes, we did mention a shop, a Christmas shop. It's called a Country Store and Gift Shop, opened this year in time for Christmas by the Kane County Farm Bureau in St. Charles. It's located on Randall Road in St. Charles, a western suburb. They operate from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. So if you missed getting in there to buy Christmas farm toys, you will be able to do it, I'm sure, next week. But it's the Kane County Farm Bureau, St. Charles, Randall Road. If you drive Randall Road in the western suburbs, you've driven by the Kane County Farm Bureau many times. And yes, they did have the shop with farm toys for Christmas, in case your children are looking for that. 28 minutes after 5 o'clock, we're coming up to news time here on the Saturday Morning Show, and we'll get to that when we continue on the Saturday Morning Show. And the good wishes going back to you, Roger, so have a great holiday and a safe one. You know, you mentioned the winter weather that we're seeing off to the east of us, and as you were, I was going through my headlines on my Reuters computer service, and the headline jumped out at me, Michigan man dies following falling through the ice on a Michigan lake while ice fishing. And this time of the year, you got to be careful when you go out on some of those lakes. It looks like it's a pretty solid ice covering. And when you get out there, it turns out to be anything but solid. And so be careful. Working at WBAY in Green Bay and WHBY in Appleton, Wisconsin, years ago, we were close to Lake Winnebago. And Lake Winnebago in the eastern part of Wisconsin was a very popular ice fishing lake. And every year in the springtime, as well as in the fall, before the ice was solidly formed, and then in the springtime when it was really no longer safe to be on, we would report regularly every day during the ice fishing season, well, we lost 7 cars yesterday that fell through the ice in Lake Winnebago, and then the next day we'd say lost another 15 cars that fell through the ice on Lake Winnebago. All I'm saying is be careful. 25 minutes before 6 o'clock, and we say welcome to Samuelson Says, sponsored by Wink Products Company, makers of quality specialty cleaning products since 1947. And the folks at Wink Products Company want to wish you and yours a very merry and blessed Christmas season. And we'll talk about the time of the season, and we'll say Merry Christmas. We're getting ready for the holidays around the Samuelson home. We are expecting a lot of visitors, so the last thing we want to worry about is plumbing problems. So we'll have a bottle of Wink Hair Clog Blaster handy to keep our bathroom drains running clean. Safe on all pipes and septic systems, Wink Hair Clog Blaster pours through running, standing water, breaking down hair and soap scum. Check out all the fine products at wink.com. That's W-H-I-N. Every year at this time of the year, I look for new ways to say Merry Christmas to you and your family. but it's challenging to come up with a new or a different way to say that every year. So instead of my saying it this year, I am going to use the release that came across my Reuters computer a few days ago from a group called Farm Policy Facts, based in Washington, D.C., that pretty thoroughly cover the story of agriculture from a political sense. But this year, their Christmas presentation is entitled Our View, Christmas Reflections. And I'd like to share their view of the Christmas season with you this morning. Christmas is a time of reflection and a time of giving and receiving, whether we deserve and understanding the gifts or not. It's called grace. This Christmas, we'd like to thank the farmers of this nation who generously bless us all, friends and strangers alike, with the fruits of their labor. Farmers' fields and pastures are why we have great open spaces in this nation and the picturesque countryside that most citizens can enjoy with a short drive from their homes. And because of farmers' efficiency, we spend less of our incomes on food than citizens of any other nation. And in return, we have the most abundant and safest food supply in the history of mankind. Unlike most other countries, America has never known widespread hunger, thanks to the consistency of our farmers and ranchers. Year in and year out, in good times and bad, they start each season with a seed of hope and a hearty resolve, and it flowers from there. It's incredible, actually. Farmers toil in one of the riskiest enterprises on the planet, just to feed and clothe the rest of us. They compete with foreign treasuries, trade barriers, and highly volatile markets. They never know when Mother Nature will strike and destroy a season's worth of labor. But even when they lose a crop to a freeze or a flood, they are back out the next season to try again. And their work does more than just put food on our tables and conserve our landscape. It makes our economy hum. More than 20% of the U.S. economy is directly or indirectly tied to the food and agriculture sectors. That's 43 million jobs, $1.9 trillion in wages, and $894 billion in taxes. Yet somehow the policy that underpins it all represents less than 1% of federal spending in the U.S. We are truly blessed. Thank God for farmers who continue to grace us all. And a Merry Christmas to farmers and ranchers and their families and all of you throughout the year. And that's the thoughts of Farm Policy Facts here on Samuelson Says, a presentation of Tribune Radio Networks. 20 minutes before 6, and more music from St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth, Michigan, when we continue on the Saturday morning show. And now back to the St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth, Michigan, and we get joined by the musical groups there who do God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
To save us all from Satan's power.
the mixed choirs of St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth, Michigan. It started as Gasohol back in the 70s. A lot of people objected, said we couldn't put food into our gas tanks. That's all changed, and we're going to talk to Robert White with the Renewable Fuels Association about the tremendous change in this industry. But we still have our detractors, don't we?
We do, and a lot of it is a well-funded misinformation campaign from our competition. We have successfully infiltrated the fuel market at about 10.5% of the total volume. And no one would ever believe that. No one would have believed that 10 years ago, let alone 30 years ago, in the days of Gasohol back into the 70s.
And I wouldn't have believed we'd be exporting it to countries around the world. Talk to me about that.
Well, we think we're going to have a record year. There's obviously been some hurdles this past year with China, the European Union, and even in Brazil. But we think we'll export 1.3 billion gallons of ethanol. And if you look back 15 years ago, we weren't making that much for ourselves. But we've come a long way, and we're exporting to some unique countries like United Arab Emirates, who send us their oil and we send them ethanol back. Whatever works, I guess. But the reality is the export market is growing because of emissions concerns in some of these developing countries. China is looking at developing their own 10% ethanol standard. India is growing leaps and bounds. All of these countries need some way to clean up their fuel. Ethanol is a renewable, cleaner-burning product that at the same time is also cheaper than their gasoline. So they get multiple benefits from using it.
You also had challenges from the U.S. auto industry. Have we overcome those?
We are definitely making some good progress. We've had E10, when 10% ethanol or gasohol was introduced, there was some concern. Funny how that was even during leaded gasoline days. We've come a lot with just gasoline in general. And you fast forward to 2012 when E15 was approved. We had flex fuel vehicles introduced in the middle of all that. And now we're looking at a market where 90% of the new vehicles from model year 2018 embrace and warranty and approve the use of 15% ethanol in their vehicles.
So are we still hearing that we can't put food into the gas tank and that food versus fuel fight?
It will never die. It will never die. I had the unique privilege of meeting with an international delegation just 2 weeks ago. And the Argentinians were telling me that they're currently fighting a food versus fuel debate and wanted to know how we successfully won that debate. I told them I'm not sure the victory was completely accepted yet, but nonetheless, we have seen situations where people think that number two field corn is the corn that they see in the can at the grocery store. And I've always made the joke that come out to Kansas in August or September, and we'll gladly walk you out and see if your dentist can support your trying of that corn in the field if you think it's really food. But there's just so much disconnect now between agricultural, right, rural communities and the growing population that we have to do our part as much as possible to educate those. I was at all things but the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally this year.
Oh, really?
And we've promoted ethanol out there for a number of years. And one gentleman came up to me and he goes, I appreciate the high octane. I appreciate the price. I just don't know if it's right to turn food into fuel. And I said, do you know that we have multiple products that come out of these biorefineries? And I explained all that to him. Yeah. He shook his head and he said, that's the story you need to tell. Well, we do tell that story. Yeah. But the opposition has a much larger wallet and a much larger voice. But we do our best. And it proved, once again, if you get to the individual, you can change their mind.
Right. And, of course, the byproducts from ethanol, tremendous new industry as well for the export.
Absolutely.
Market.
And some would argue that the ethanol is the co-product now.
Yes.
It's not even the main output, but we're seeing some of our producer members making biodiesel, renewable, yeah, diesel, cellulosic ethanol, selling the corn fiber, selling the oil, you name it. They're diversifying, so no matter what the marketplace throws at them, they have another option to help manage that bottom line.
Robert White, keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Renewable Fuels Association. We'll probably have to remind you of this come Tuesday morning before the markets open, but just a quick rundown on closing prices at noon this past Friday. and that'll refresh your memory, so you'll be ready to go on Tuesday morning when the markets open. But March wheat ended the week at $4.24 a bushel, down 2 cents on Friday. March corn up a penny for the day, ending at $3.52 a bushel. January soybeans ended 1.5 cents higher at $9.49 a bushel. And livestock trade, the February lean hog contract ended $1.45 higher per hundredweight, $69.97. The February live cattle contract down 95 cents at $118.57. And January feeder cattle ended down $1.12 on Friday at $141.55. So keep that in mind, but we'll refresh your memory come Tuesday morning. We're at 5 minutes before 6 o'clock here on the Saturday Morning Show. We've been featuring the music of the Congregation of St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth, Michigan. And I'm betting just about every church service on Christmas Eve will end with the hymn, Silent Night. who have enjoyed the music, the talent we found at St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth, Michigan, as we approach the Christmas holiday to be observed on Monday. And if you're looking for a church for Christmas Eve, you can come to Huntley, Illinois, and Shepherd of the Prairie Lutheran Church with several Christmas Eve services. And I'm honored to once again this year do the Christmas scripture at the 5 o'clock service on Christmas Eve at Shepherd of the Prairie. Thank you all for joining us throughout the year. May you have a blessed Christmas season. And you're listening to Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. And if you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. And now it's 6 o'clock. Time to say good morning and Merry Christmas to Domiti Pongo.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on The Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.